today's audiocast for Friday, January 26, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. AvWeb's Chad Troutfeder recently spoke with National Air Traffic Controllers Association Executive Vice President Paul Rinaldi to talk about the current state of the U.S. ATC system. As the union that represents controllers, NATCA is very concerned about adequate staffing at facilities as the controller workforce becomes eligible for retirement.
The FAA has underestimated the retirements of each year. This year, we're roughly retiring about three per day. They've recently adjusted their numbers, and they're now saying that they're expecting 700 retirees for this year. And we have already seen a significant amount of those 700. It looks like we're going to break that number and be close to 1,000 this year. The FAA is saying it is adequate staffing, but over the course of the last 3 years, we're down over 1,000 air traffic controllers than we had in 2003. The majority of controllers that were hired after the 1981 situation, 25 years, then you can retire from our profession, and we're at this point right now. And with the imposed work rules and the new pay system, there's truly no incentive for most seasoned air traffic controllers to stay on board and to work the airplanes and put up with the stress of the daily position, so they're retiring.
After failed contract negotiations last summer, the FAA imposed new work rules for controllers, which has stirred NATCA.
Just to put it out as clear as could be, the FAA calls it a contract. It is not a contract. It is not agreed to, it is not ratified, and it is certainly not recognized by the air traffic controllers and by this union. For it to be a contract, it would have to be agreed to and ratified. What basically has happened, the FAA has imposed their will in a punishing manner, imposing new work rules on the controllers, and it has degrading force on the controllers, on the work environment, and it really is truly a distraction to safety.
The union says the imposed work rules are unfair to those pushing 10.
The reduction in the pay bands is one of the things that we just touched on. The fact that air traffic controllers cannot get vacation time with their family when their family, their kids are out of school. The fact that there's no stability in the schedule. Therefore, there'll be no, solid sleep patterns for the air traffic controllers. The fact that there is no control whatsoever over your schedule, that if you come in for a day shift, they're basically saying a day shift can be anywhere from 4 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The complete oxymoron on that is you'll be getting paid night differential on some of those day shifts to work your 8-hour shift.
Scheduling is obviously a hot-button item for NATCA.
They'll hide behind the fact that they're staffing to traffic. Truth of the matter is they're staffing to their budget and trying to make the bottom line fit. It's really absurd because I don't even think they know what their bottom line is. The system was built on a redundancy of layers of safety. And when you start stripping that away, and the safety will be denigrated to a point that we could have problems. And that's why the controllers are adamant to say we need more staffing. And we need incentives to keep the controllers, the most seasoned controllers, to continue to stay on and work airplanes.
A new policy requiring overnight controllers to handle a high workload at the tail end of their shift defies common sense, NATCA says.
As a controller who worked midnight shifts for 15 years, I will tell you that towards the end of your 8 hours of being up all night and working that, you are not as sharp as you would be if you were just starting your shift. To ask an air traffic controller to work an increased traffic level towards the end of their midnight shift is asking for a disaster. You cannot put that type of responsibility on controllers after being up all night and staying vigilant all night with minimum amount of breaks to then, be able to spool up for our early morning arrival or departure push.
Rinaldi claims the FAA's top priority is on the bottom line instead of safety.
I believe it is. I believe they want to be more like a business. And quite frankly, we don't care if you can be more like a business. You're just not going to cut the safety from the American flying public. And we're going to let you know. We're going to let you know that they're trying to cut corners on your safety.
The recently imposed ban of commercial radios in ATC work areas also degrades the safety of controllers themselves. For example, Daytona Beach controllers had no warning that tornadoes were headed their way on Christmas Day, with the twisters barely missing the tower by 150 yards. A weather alert radio was installed in the tower cab days after the incident, but was then removed last week.
Well, the interesting part about that is, some FAA management officials actually realized that how dangerous it was not to have some type of weather reporting equipment in the tower to alert the air traffic controllers on a dangerous situation such as that. And you know, apparently the higher-ups thought it was completely unnecessary for the controllers to be safe in their work environment. They ordered them to take the radios out now. I asked the FAA official about that, and they actually said, it'll be a distraction to the operation. And truly, the distraction to the operation is the FAA's imposed will on the air traffic controllers and completely yanking them around, all around the schedule, and changing their work environment, changing the procedures without letting the controllers have input. Their imposed work rules are the distraction to our work environment and to safety. Not having another layer of safety of a weather radio so we could know in the event of a tornado or a funnel cloud or anything like that, that's important information that we should be able to relay to pilots and to our own controllers to evacuate.
We're speaking with NATCA's Paul Rinaldi. More in a moment on AvWeb Audio.
The Bose Aviation Headset 10. For 5 years, the number one choice in Professional Pilot Magazine survey. Enjoy an unmatched combination of comfortable fit, noise reduction, and clearer audio with 50% less clamping force than most conventional ANR headsets. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Fly with the Aviation Headset 10 for 30 days risk-free. Order now and receive free shipping and learn about the convenient payment plan. Visit Bose.com/headset.
Getting back to ATC costs, how does NATCA feel about the FAA's push for user fees as a way to pay for the next generation air transportation system?
They're not going in the right direction. They don't have air traffic controllers on board, to let the engineers know and the companies know that are developing this equipment of what would actually work in the field. It's absurd to build the next piece of aviation air traffic control equipment without air traffic controllers input.
The same thing cropped up in the development of STARS, which originally had a QWERTY keyboard instead of an ABC keyboard to which controllers were accustomed.
Exactly right. And at the time, the administrator, Jane Garvey, recognized the value of the air traffic controller's input, and she did a very good job of modernizing the system, and this is the equipment we're using right now. And it's the equipment that was installed under Jane Garvey's administration is holding up very strong, and it's very productive, and that's because the air traffic controllers were part of the team to develop and to train and to implement that equipment. And it was 100% buy-in with the controllers and management, and the relationship was really worked well that way.
Will the current ATC equipment be able to handle future air traffic loads?
Well, I will tell you the current staffing levels is not going to be able to handle any future traffic. I think the rubber band is stretched pretty thin right now, and if they don't start hiring more trainees, and the important part that we need to talk about, when a person comes out of the academy and enters into their air traffic control facility, the trainee, they're not air traffic controllers. It takes 2 to 4 years for them to become fully certified air traffic controllers that they can work on their own and guide your plane safely. Now, that training is 99% on-the-job training with air traffic controllers plugged in, teaching the new trainee all the situations and the trouble spots and the things to look for. And it takes that long to go through all those scenarios with them. So really, the big issue right now is to maintain the staffing levels so that we can continue to train the new people coming into the system so we can make them air traffic controllers.
NATCA will continue to work with Congress to press the FAA to negotiate a fair contract with controllers.
We were bipartisan in 2006 working with the Republican Congress and Senate, and we've actually had a couple of bills and votes on our issue, and there is a majority of Congress that feels what the FAA has done to us is wrong, that they should not have imposed their will on the fine men and women of the air traffic control system, and that the air traffic controllers shall have a right to negotiate their work rules and be able to ratify their agreement.
You've been listening to a conversation with Paul Rinaldi, Executive Vice President of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. www.avweb.com. That's where you get the latest general aviation news from AvWeb as it happens. Concise, comprehensive general aviation news stories, resources along with brain teasers, the video of the week, the picture of the week, the pilot's lounge, and a whole lot more. And you can also sign up for our news feed and have the most recent headlines pushed directly to your RSS-based news reader. Log on to avweb.com/register. comments to audionews@avweb.com. And this report was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Look for Avweb's next audiocast on Monday, January 29th. I'm Mike Blakeney for Avweb Audio. Thanks for listening.